Luke chapter 15, one verse in Luke 15, and then Luke 16. Luke 15, verse 31. This is the Father speaking to his elder son, who, when the younger son came home, and there was a celebration, he would not come in and join. His father went out and entreated him, and this is what he says in verse 31. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now in chapter 16, let's start reading at verse 19. Now there was a certain rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day. And a certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, yea, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, or Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now here he is comforted, and thou art in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, that they that would pass from hence to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from thence to us. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham saith, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, thy Son doth bring strange things to our ears, things that we would have had to remain cloudy in our minds. But thy Son hath spoken to us clearly about them. We are thankful for the clarity, and yet thou dost know the revulsion as we have read of these things that came from the lips of him who is the truth. We pray that the truth of these things shall speak to the hearts of all who are here. Only by thy Spirit canst thou awaken concern and repentance. And that is why, even though we speak these words, we cry to thee for the assistance of thy Spirit to make them truth in the hearts of those who hear. And so empower thy servant and cleanse us, and let us glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I've told you for 2 weeks now that Luke chapter 15 is both a chapter of certainty and uncertainty. Certainty about certain one who are lost being found, the certainty of those who never confess themselves as lost and blind and sick, never being found. But in the case of this elder brother, there is the uncertainty. When the younger brother comes home and his father has a celebration because he has received him home safe and sound, the elder brother will not go in. But his father comes out and entreats him. And it tells us the conversation that went back and forth between the two. But we are never told whether that elder son responded. And so that is the uncertainty of Luke chapter 15. We know that the younger son was found. We know that those who never repent are going to remain lost. But as for those with whom the Father is still dealing, we do not know whether they will say yes or no to the Father's entreaty. That's why I'm talking to you this morning. If you refuse to acknowledge that you are lost and blind and in need of the great physician to heal your soul, then you will die in your sins. And where Christ is, you cannot go. But if, as the Father speaks to you, you will listen to his entreaty, you may argue with him for a while. Who heard the voice of God the first time and that first moment responded? Very few. Some, but very few. I was not among the few. I heard the voice of God and I had my arguments. And so the uncertainty is whether a man will respond to the entreaties of God. And so the uncertainty is, when God entreats him to act in such a way, will he obey God or will he disregard the entreaty of God? And that is what is before you this morning. And I can tell you the outcome. I can tell you that if you say yes to the entreaty of God, there will be as much merriment regarding you, an elder brother, as there was concerning that younger brother. This is the goodness of God. But I can also tell you this, that if you refuse the entreaty of God, the outcome will be like that I read to you in Luke chapter 16. You might ask, why would you read that portion in Luke chapter 16 as the final conclusion to all of these entreaties and invitations that you've been telling us about for these 2 months now? The reason is this: the inevitability of your case being like that in Luke chapter 16 if you constantly say no to the entreaties of God. The reason I read Luke 16, you're not able to understand it, but I'm going to tell you why. There is a threefold reason, and in the King James, in most versions, you're not able to tell it. But when I was reading Luke 16, the way that Abraham spoke to that rich man in hell, he used the same word that the father spoke to his elder son in Luke 15. There are several words for son in the Bible, but this is a particular word. This is the word technon. And when the father went out to the elder son, he said to him, not quios, but he said technon. He said, son. And Abraham uses the same term of address to this rich man in Luke 16. And you would never know it. But when they began to make merry upon the return of the younger son, the elder son said, you never gave me a kid to make merry with my friends. And in Luke chapter 16, it speaks about this rich man who fared sumptuously every day. But it's the same word in the original, you fry, no. And so here are two words, the same word, son, And the word to fare sumptuously is to make merry. He made merry in a sumptuous way every day. And that brought him to my mind, but also something else. The utter disregard that he had for that beggar Lazarus that was laid at his gate. And so these three things reminded me of that elder son. And thank God, in the case of Luke 15, we do not know what happened to that elder son. But I know this, that if that elder son did not respond to his father's entreaties, what happened to him is what happened to the rich man in Luke chapter 16. The same will happen to both. But first, I want to dwell on this a moment because it's one of the loveliest things in the Bible. I've been telling you about how the Father, Son, and Spirit give invitations, how the Godhead is concerned with your salvation. And in this case, what is so beautiful is the elder son, having rejected the loving heart of the father's compassion toward the younger son, the father, instead of renouncing that elder son and his disagreement, it says he went out to a son who would not come in to join the festivities, and he entreated him. The same thing happened in Matthew chapter 11 when the Lord Jesus was upbraiding most of the cities wherein his mighty works were done because they repented not. But after he gets through upbraiding them and telling them the fearful consequences of permanent rejection of his testimony, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Here is rejection, but here is an invitation even to those who have rejected the first overtures of the Savior in Matthew 11 and of the Father's implorings in Luke chapter 15. And the verse that comes to mind is that beautiful verse that occurs twice in the Old Testament. It's a remarkable verse. David says twice, this particular portion is in a psalm and in the book of Samuel. He says this twice. He says to God, he says, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." The gentleness of God. Now, what would you do, think as a parent, if you have ever been angry? Something that is so meaningful to you, and one of your children comes up and would dash this happy moment of yours in your life, dash it to the ground. Well, when this happens to the Father, his gentleness is going in the direction of making this elder son great. That when we react badly, God reacts gently. This is one of the marvels of the nature of God, the gentleness of God. And if you look that word gentle up in the Old Testament, it's the same word that is spoken of Moses when it said Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. And so God's meekness made him great. And the Lord Jesus in Matthew 11, when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." And so the same characteristics of God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament are true of the Lord Jesus, the Son whom the Father sent from heaven. The gentleness of the Lord Jesus makes us great, and the gentleness of the Father makes us great. I have marveled at the way God's gentleness is manifested in the case of his servants. Do you remember when Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and preach a certain message to them, and he refused? But finally, God brought him to his senses, and he goes to Nineveh and preaches this particular message, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And it said the whole city repented. And Jonah, when he saw what happened, was angry, and it displeased him exceedingly. And then God started working again in his life. And twice he asked him this, and the second time he gets an answer. He says, "Doest thou well to be angry?" And Jonah said, "I do well to be angry even unto death." Can you imagine a creature talking to God that way? And yet he does. And God, in his gentleness, deals with Jonah, trying to bring him to his senses and to bring his heart in harmony with his own heart. And so here is the gentleness. I've given you two examples now. David knows about it. Jonah, God knows whether he ever understood about it. But in the case of David, David understood, and he said, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." And so what is it about God that lifts us stubborn, stiff-necked sinners from the dust and from the dunghill and places us among kings? The Bible tells us God's gentleness. That is, not reacting suddenly and immediately when we rebel against his entreaties and his invitations to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And God, in his gentleness, approaches us again, and he reasons tenderly and in meekness with us and tells us, trying to put us in our right minds as to our behavior when it comes to his ways. And in Luke chapter 15, we are uncertain as to what happens. But I want to tell you this. There is no uncertainty as to what happens when the gentleness of God is utterly refused. This is what it says in Romans chapter 2. It says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the long-suffering of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who shall judge every man according to his works." And so let a man despise God's long-suffering, despise God's gentleness. And it says, when you do that, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath for that day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And you remember this, that in Luke 16 there is a man in hell in torment, and it says it is the righteous judgment of God. All of those who say hell is not like God, it is the righteous judgment of God. You get a God who sends his only begotten Son from heaven, and he dies on the cross, and you reject him again and again. And after the entreaties of God, you say, "No." And then you lift up your eyes in hell, being in torment. This is the righteous judgment of God. And this, again, is what made me think of that man, because the interpretation that I gave you, that there were not 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, 99 who were saved and one who was lost. But there were 100 lost, I told you, but 99 of them were oblivious to their lost condition. And the Lord Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." You see, a man that will not acknowledge his blindness and his lost condition, the Lord Jesus can do nothing about it. And so I told you that there were 100 sheep that were lost and 10 coins that were lost. And there were 2 sons that were lost. Not one that went into the far country and was lost, but both of those sons were lost. But one of them was oblivious to his being lost. But the thing that made it difficult to give you that interpretation, I wonder if the words struck you so forcibly, were these. When the son is retorting to his father's entreaty, he said, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." You say, well, that doesn't sound like a lost man. But it does. Because when he says, Son, thou art ever with me, that means his whole life long. The Father is never going to cast him out, but the Father, his whole life long, in his gentleness, is going to entreat and implore that son to come to his senses and to receive with love his younger brother as the Father received his son that was lost. And he said, Son, thou art ever with me. And so that meant that as long as that son was alive, he would never drive him out of the house, but he would constantly implore and entreat and speak to his heart and try to bring about a repentance and a conformity of thinking in his heart with the Father's heart. And he said, All that I have is thine. What does that mean? You say it means heaven? Not at all. What did it mean when it says that that younger brother said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the inheritance that befalleth me? It says, he divided unto them his living. And not many days hence, he gathered together all and went into a far country and spent the substance in riotous living. You say, why, of course. It was the material thing that the father was talking about. And so when he says, Thou art ever with me, it means his whole life long, and all that I have is thine. Why, of course, because when he divided the inheritance, he gave part to the younger son and he gave part to the elder son. Evidently, while the father was still alive, he was in charge. He is the patriarch, the same as old Isaac is the patriarch, even though Jacob and Esau are still alive and they are old men. Isaac is still the patriarch, and so this patriarch says to his son, Thou art ever with me, I'm not going to cast you out. He said, And all that I have is thine. And so God speaks of a twofold promise to this elder son, and the elder son, I told you in past weeks, is a picture of those critical Pharisees who murmured when the Lord Jesus received publicans and sinners and ate with them. And so the Lord Jesus depicts them as this elder son. And even though they are that way, in the first instance, the father did not cast him out because he would not celebrate upon the return of the younger son. He did not cast him out. And he said to him, even when, as Jonah is saying, I do well to be angry even unto death, God did not reject him then, but with gentleness. And with explanations, as he says in Isaiah 1, Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God says, Come now, let us reason together. And so God entreats this son in Luke 15 this time, but he makes him this promise. He said, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that is mine is thine. He promises even these unrepentant Pharisees two things. He promises them that as long as they stay in his house, he will not reject them and he will not take away from them all the material promises that are rightfully theirs. There are some who think that God has taken away these promises from the Jews, but he has not. It says in the book of Romans that the gifts and promises of God are without repentance. God is not going to change his mind. There are certain things that will bring about a curtailment of them. But it says in the future all Israel is going to be saved. But it is speaking in particular at this time of the Jews that criticized the Lord Jesus for receiving publicans and sinners and eating with them. And so even though they have this attitude, the Lord says that he is going to let them remain with him their whole life long. You are ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And the Lord Jesus prayed to this end twice. Do you realize that? We see these Jews, the nation as a whole, pictured in that fig tree, fruitless. And the husbandman says, Why doth this fig tree cumber the ground? These 3 years I come seeking fruit on it and find none. Cut it down. But then the one who takes care of it says, let it alone this year, and let me dig about it, and let me enrich the soil, and if it bear fruit, well. But if not, thou shalt cut it down. And so here, for this fig tree, Christ implores, and on the cross, when he was crucified, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so twice, in parable and in prayer, he has implored the Father to withhold his wrath. And because of that, for the whole generation, for their whole life long, they were ever with God. Until finally, in A.D. 70, this was a lifetime. Then they ultimately said no to God about the reception of the Messiah. And then God sent his armies, and he destroyed those murderers and tore down their city. And this is what happened. This is what happened to them historically, outwardly, that the eyes of men could see. But what happens to men invisibly after they die is something that only the Lord Jesus Christ can tell us, because no man's eye can see. And that is what he tells us in Luke chapter 16. And I would like to make it that this rich man in Luke chapter 16 is in reality an extension of this elder brother in Luke chapter 15. But I cannot make it fit. There are many things that are suggested that way, but I cannot make it fit. For this reason, it says, a certain man had two sons, and this man has six sons. That is a difficulty. And this son in Luke chapter 15 is one who is parsimonious. He's at work in the field all the time. And so I have a difficulty that way, even though we get making merry, unless we could say this, that even though he is not that elder son, he is an excellent example and an application of what is going to happen to that elder son, and something like this could have happened. Just remember very well that the father put this thought in his mind when he said, you never gave me a kid to make merry with my friends. The father said to him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it suddenly dawned upon this elder son, all that you have is mine. Why, of course, you've given me the inheritance. And so, instead of working in the field, he starts making merry every day. There was one day of special celebration when the younger son came home, but this man, in Luke chapter 16, it said he made merry every day. And instead of having on work clothes and being in the field and coming home weary, it said he was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously. He made merry every day. And so the son could have changed. I thought, well, perhaps this is what happened when the patriarch died. But according to Luke 16, this man who died has a father that's still alive. He said, I have five brothers in my father's house. And so evidently the father outlived this son, and he has five brothers who are alive as well. But it makes no difference. What happened to him is ultimately what is going to happen to that elder son. And I do hope this. I hope that he came to his senses and enjoyed life instead of laboriously working in the field and toiling and never enjoying the material things of life that God gives. Because some do this. They go through life denying themselves, having no enjoyment at all, and they think that somehow this denial is going to get them to heaven. But this isn't so at all. Well, this man is not going to have that attitude. He is going to fare sumptuously every day. He's going to give thought to what he eats and drinks and to what he puts on, and he's going to make merry. And this is what he does in Luke chapter 16. But eventually, it comes to an end. And this is why I told you that the Lord, who said to him, thou art ever with me, and he was. Do you see this man fared sumptuously his whole life long? But finally, he died. And then, when a son dies, he's no longer with his father. And then, when he dies, all the material things that he had, why, they're of no more use to him. You've read that. You'll take nothing with you to the grave. And so this is what happens in Luke chapter 16. And so it's very much like what could have happened to that elder brother. Because I've told you that he is tenderly addressed as my child, my son. And the making merry that's talked about in Luke 15, he starts to make merry, not just one day, but every day. And then I find that the attitude of this rich man in Luke 16 is the same attitude of that elder brother in Luke 15. Lovelessness, disregard for others. Well, let's think on it a moment now. If you read Luke chapter 16, you're liable to think this for a moment. You're liable to think that all rich people die and go to hell, and all poor people die and go to Abraham's bosom, or as we would say today, go to heaven. But that's wrong. The world is full of poor people who die and go to hell. And I can say that the world contains also rich people who die and go to heaven. I did not say it was full of them, because the Lord Jesus himself said, "How hardly shall they that trust in riches enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were amazed when he said that. And they said, "Who then can be saved?" He said, "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And so rich men can be saved. And so when I tried to identify this man, what I did was to look up all the rich men in the Gospel of Luke, and it contains more rich people than all the other Gospels combined. There are rich men in chapter 12 and 16, and two of them in 16, and in chapter 18 and 19. There are five cases of definite rich men in Luke's Gospel. And the one that is brought before us in Luke 16, the second one, is of interest, and I would like to tell you so much about it, but I can't. But this man is a rich man who is ever so much like that elder brother in this respect, in that he is rich, but he does not avail himself of his riches to alleviate the sufferings of others. And so I say, when you read Luke 16 at first, you're liable to say he was rich, and rich people die and go to hell. No. When you look at it carefully, the Lord has concealed, because they are concealed, but they're there, no less than four reasons why this rich man died and went to hell. And these are the reasons. He did not repent. He did not believe. He did not obey. And he did not love. And all of these four things are there. And I read and read and read in past years. And then, as one brother was speaking, I saw one thing. And then, as I looked at it more and more, I'm going to tell you briefly how these four things are there. This rich man in hell says, "Father Abraham, if one goes back to them from the dead, they will repent." He understood that his five brothers were in the same spiritual condition that he was. They have not repented. I have not repented. And I want them to repent in time, in life, on earth, lest they come to this place of torment. And so while he's talking about his brothers who have not repented, why do you think he thinks of their not repenting? Because he realizes he has not repented. That is why. And so this man had his whole life long, because God gives us a life long, to repent. And some of us stay in the Father's house a whole life long, and with all of the actions of the Father and all of the teachings of the Father, we never repent. But some, like the younger son, go into a far country, and we learn that the way of the transgressor is hard there. And finally, we repent. And so God gives us a chance to repent. If we stay at home or if we go into a far country, it makes no difference. But God deals with us the way we want to be dealt with. And when this man came to the Savior and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said, "You know the law. Tell me about it." And the Savior told him the commandments. He is trying to get across to all people that it is impossible to keep the law of God. And some stay in the presence of God their whole life long and never realize that it's impossible for a man to keep the law of God perfectly, that they must cast their souls upon the mercy of God for salvation. And this man stayed in the Father's house his whole life long, and he never learned, and he never repented. Whereas this younger son went into the far country, and it says he came to himself, and he repented, and he returned home a different man in heart, and his father made him a different man outward in body as well. But this man never repented. I told you, faith, you don't realize this. But in John 3:36, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It says, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You don't realize it. But the same word in John 3:36, he that believeth not the Son, is the same word that is used in Luke 16, they will not be persuaded. It's the word apatheo. Here is the same word with an alpha privative, and it says, he did not believe, they will not believe. And so the same thing that said in John 3:36 about they that will not believe. And so here is a man who did not repent, and he did not believe. Paul says, I preached repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that neither he nor his brethren who were still alive had repented or had faith in the teachings of God. And the fact that they did not obey, listen, the word here means to obey, because the Lord Jesus said, the hour cometh, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The word here means to obey, to respond. It says, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But they did not obey, they did not hear the law and the prophets. And then the final thing, he had no love. I know that because here is this poor beggar that is at his gate, and every time he goes out of his gate, here is an opportunity to do something good with his money. But he is loveless. The dogs come and lick his sores. He does not send for a physician and buy medicine. He passes by, and what does the poor man get? Any scraps, any crumbs that are left over from the table, they can be thrown out to Lazarus unless the dogs get them first. And so that's how much concern that he has for this sick man, this poor man that is at his gate. And so this is lovelessness. And you remember this, I've told you that all of these inward things, such as love and faith and obedience, all of these inward things are manifested by our outward actions. It says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And here is one of his Jewish brothers, and he passes by him every day, and he loves him not. And the Bible says, he abides in death. And this commandment have we from God, that he who loves God love his brother also. And this rich man is in hell not because he was rich, but because of the way that he dealt with his riches. He showed that he never repented, that he never had faith, that he never obeyed, and that he never loved. And this is going to be the same thing that happens to you. But God's gentleness is still trying to make you great. Respond to the overtures of God's love. Let us pray. Our Father, thy Son has said that some are going to die and lift up their eyes and be in hell in torments. Some here, if they do not believe and repent and obey and manifest love toward the brethren. Show them this, Father. It is not some man who has said it, but it is the man, Christ Jesus, who has said it. Only by thy Spirit canst thou bring them to their senses. Thy gentlest Father shall go on their whole life long. You'll continue to give them health and strength and life and breath and give them daily bread in measure their whole life long. But then they're going to die. And then thy gentlest Father, if they do not respond, shall not make them great. But that gentlest burned because of their hardness and impenitent heart, shall treasure up for them wrath. Today is the day of grace. Father, that their lives may be enriched by saying yes to the entreaties of the Father, may all of us be as Lazarus when the time comes. May we be carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and may none of us awake in hell, lift up our eyes, being in torment. Bless us this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.